This is NHPR. I'm Rick Amley. All this week on Morning Edition, we're bringing you a series on the heroin and opioid addiction crisis we're calling Hope on the Front Lines. We've traveled across the state and talked with people at the ground level who are trying to make a difference. Alcoholics Anonymous has become a well-known part of recovery, but now Heroin Anonymous meetings are popping up all over New Hampshire. These meetings are in large cities like Manchester and Nashua, but also in smaller towns where the addiction epidemic has taken a toll. I'm here in Newmarket. It's a town of about 9,000 people near the seacoast. The downtown is a string of quaint shops and renovated mill buildings right along the Lamprey River waterfront. I meet up with Kimberly Branch at a small hole-in-the-wall restaurant.
Johnny Boston's a great little spot to be. It's fast food, cook slow. This is just an awesome little place, good energy.
Branch works part-time here, one of her two jobs. There's a steady stream of reggae music playing as the lunch crowd comes in and out. We grab a booth, and before getting to her decision to start a Heroin Anonymous group here in town, Branch opens up about her own experience with addiction.
I started when I was 15. This was back in 99. My dad had passed away, and I started using everything I could get my hands on, and when I came across heroin, I absolutely fell in love, and I wanted more of it because I didn't want to feel the pain that I felt inside.
And after everyone she cared about had dropped her from their lives, Branch knew she needed to make a change.
It wasn't until I grieved with my own issues on the inside that I was able to realize this is not the life I want. I want to move on and do more with my life.
She's now 10 years sober, and between work and taking care of her two children, Branch is paying it forward by running weekly Heroin Anonymous meetings.
My whole thing is to try to help the addicts nowadays and to help them realize that, hey, I did it. I know you can do it too. I definitely believe that with all my heart.
Last fall, she reached out to a national Heroin Anonymous organization and got a starter pack of pamphlets and key tags, which are used to mark milestones of sobriety. And now, every Wednesday night, Branch hosts meetings at the Newmarket Community Church.
When I have my meeting, I like it to be comfortable. It's in a little spot upstairs in the church. There's couches in there, chairs. It's very comfortable. It's very relaxing. I like more of the peer counseling to be there and counsel, but I do go by the 12 steps as well.
Is it kind of modeled after an AA sort of situation?
It is exactly modeled after the 12-step program, yes.
But unlike AA, Branch says having someone who's actually been down the path of heroin addiction makes all the difference.
Because I have been there, I think it means a lot more than going to an AA meeting and they have no idea what it's like to actually do heroin or be in that slump, that heroin slump.
I wanted to hear from the people that go to these Heroin Anonymous meetings. Branch offered to meet with members and use her cell phone to interview them. We've agreed to only use their first names.
Hi, my name's AJ. I'm 23, from Rochester, New Hampshire.
He got addicted to heroin after getting hooked on prescription medication following an injury. He stole, lied, and lost the ones he cared about.
Why are you going to Heroin Anonymous?
Well, I came to the conclusion that I can't really live my life the way I have been and that I just need to work on myself, and this seemed like the place to do it.
Branch also spoke with a woman named Aubrey, a recovering addict who's on her sixth time trying to stay clean. She says the hardest part of recovery is the isolation.
Most of the people I know around here are addicts or recovering addicts. I can get it with one phone call. It's pretty much, I feel like I'm sheltered. I just stay in my room because, like, you know, if I go out, then I feel like I'll end up doing something stupid.
Why do you go to Heroin Anonymous now?
I like to listen to other people's stories because it makes me feel better, like I'm not alone.
Back at the restaurant, Branch tells me she's run about 30 meetings so far, and each one is different.
We have people come and go. So I've had one person that I sat there and talked to, and I've had seven or eight people I've sat there and talked to. It's up and down. You never know what's going to happen. I have to show up every Wednesday at the same time and just hope that someone comes to hang out with me and talk about some addiction.
Those who do come to the meetings are in all stages of recovery. Some are court-ordered to attend meetings, and Branch signs off on the papers for them. And sometimes people show up to the meetings high, but Branch does not turn them away.
They sit there, they nod out, whatever. It's distraction for my other people that do want help, and it's kind of a slap in the face, and I would rather them not come messed up. I'd rather them come clean and be serious about their recovery. It doesn't always happen that way.
And while she'll point people in the direction of treatment, there's only so much she can do.
Ultimately, what's going to get you sober is yourself. It's when you decide that you are tired of living the same way you've lived in your addiction, and you want a different, you want something different, you want something more.
Branch is just one of the everyday people in town trying to help. John Kuiper is another. He owns this restaurant, and he joins us in our booth. He's part of a community coalition called Newmarket Alliance for Substance Abuse Prevention. The group has held forums in town and come up with ways to address the problem. Kuiper got involved after he learned one of his employees was an addict. And as part of the coalition, he's learned getting people help isn't easy.
I think the hardest part is that it's not like there's a bunch of addicts that are like in line ready to like get help. Most of them don't want help. So we kind of got all geared up, and then it was kind of like, wow, there's like really limited amount we can do. And then the biggest problem is that there's only so much we can do without any money and with so few beds.
Kuiper says it's frustrating to see that firsthand. He says that former employee who was using couldn't afford rehab. And after going to jail for 3 months, he's back out and using again.
And so, I mean, the state ended up paying, what is that? It's got to be at least $6,000. You know, what did it, 3 months in jail do? Nothing. It's not like there's a lack of money. It's just the resources are being used in such an illogical way.
Still, the coalition is doing what it can. Branch says it is raising awareness and creating resources within the community, like the Heroin Anonymous meetings, and for others here in Newmarket affected by the crisis.
They've started a support meeting for the people, the family of the addicts. So there's also that option in town. When we have an issue arise, we try to solve it instead of just turning our heads to it.